Hi, this is Mike.
And Nathan.
And this is the Third Option Podcast.
This podcast is for individuals who are seeking biblical truth in a noisy, chaotic world of opinions and points of view. Every day, we hear politicians, pastors, coworkers, family members, neighbors, and the internet tell us how we should think and what to believe.
Our goal is to give you a third option based on the ancient truths of the Bible. Welcome to this week's podcast. We have another exciting podcast for you. I don't know.
Riveting.
This one will blow your mind. No. Mind-blowing. Life-changing. Not really. Like, this is one of those topics that it's like there's good, great, wonderful biblical evidence for, but a lot of people are probably going to shrug their shoulders and say, who cares? Probably no one will actually listen to this podcast, but you know, we still want
to... So if you're turning it off right now because we've sold it so poorly to you... Right.
We'll forgive you for that. But just remember, these topics are chosen by you. You have the right to contact us to Biblical Logic or Biblical Logic, one of those two. You can tell us
to do a third option at Gmail thing.
That's right.
They're all taken. I tried in so many different ways.
We've tried everything. But you could always email us and tell us what topics you want. So if you don't like this one, you need to tell us and say, guys, get with it. Get some good topics, okay?
Yep.
We're trying. We do try, but this one we like. Anyway, so here's today's topic. Can a Christian take someone to court? That's the question.
Can
you take someone to court if you're a Christian?
And we're going to try to stick specifically to legal matters of like, say, suing somebody or something like that, where you're taken to somebody to court to prosecute them or something like that. You know, you're going after somebody. Because there's all kinds of, like, law questions, right? How much can you be a part of the legal system or something like that? But try to focus mostly on the aspect of suing somebody or, you know, taking somebody to court for some wrong or something like that.
Yep.
So, starting off with kind of some of the ideas floating out there of, like, can Christians take people to court? And so I got a little bit from Christian attorney. Did I get this or did you?
Oh, did which one was that?
Or maybe. No, we did. We both went to this, right?
Oh, did we?
We both went to this site, I think.
Oh, yeah. The ChristianAttorney.net. Okay. Yeah.
So there's all kinds of stuff on this website.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If you want to check it out, ChristianAttorney.net. And so I was looking at the Christian versus non-Christian dispute to see what was kind of being saying. And they said, you know, the secular courts are ordained by God, and get that from Romans chapter 13. And therefore, there is no prohibition against a Christian suing a non-Christian in a secular court. So I saw this a lot. Most would say, okay. Yeah, turns out the Bible says two Christians can't sue each other.
Yeah,
okay, you actually can't take two Christians to court.
Yeah,
you know, against each other. But they're like, hey, the non-believer, open game.
That's right. Okay?
You can totally do it. No, you probably shouldn't.
That's right.
But they're like, okay, you can probably do it though.
Yeah, there's other ways to deal with this. You know, maybe you should do like the Matthew 18 steps, go talk to your pastor and see if they can resolve it first. But it was like, and there was even a reference to there's gray areas. There was also, I read one article, and the guy was talking about, he's like, well, but maybe your Christian's backslide, and
that's
not
right.
really
and
living
that was
out
the other
Christian
loophole.
Life. So.
Yeah, maybe they aren't really a Christian.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you use that like in your marriage? You're like, well, honey, I would love you, but you're kind of backsliding right now. You know, you're not really being Christ-like.
You don't really feel married to me right now.
That's right. Yeah.
No, that's
the kind of judgment they're trying to. I mean, couldn't we always make that judgment? It's like, oh, I'm disputing with
my
brother.
They're not being Christian.
That's right.
So.
They're obviously being making poor decisions. So they're not being Christ-like. So I'm going to sue them for all their worth.
That's right. So that was like the other loophole.
Yeah.
That it's basically try to get your enemy into the position of non-believer.
Sure.
And therefore open game. Yeah. So however you can work that to happen.
Yeah. There's no way they could be a Christian if they're doing this.
That's right.
No way.
Therefore they aren't, and I can sue them.
That's right.
So, that was kind of the thought.
Yeah. And so lawsuits in America, 40 million lawsuits a year is filed every year. And
it's the American way.
And because of all these lawsuits, there's over 1 million registered lawyers in America.
Man.
Because we're so sue happy. Yeah. You know, we love taking people to court.
Yep.
And, you know, on top of that, our entertainment loves this too, because the number one, you know, I'm going to give you a trivia question. See if anybody can answer it first before I give you the answer. Who is the number one highest paid TV star?
Yeah, it's TV star host, right?
TV star host, yes. Specifically. Who is number one? We'll give you 10 seconds. Okay, and we aren't going to give you 10 seconds. So that is Judge Judy. Judge Judy makes $47 million a year.
Wow.
And they said that's $900,000 per workday she makes.
I would have never figured that.
So, right.
Judge Judy.
People love watching Judge Judy.
It's like, who's watching Judge Judy?
Isn't everybody at work?
I know.
I think they said it was like 43 million people watch it every day or something. Like, and I think, this is my guess, it's just on all the time. Like, you go to a doctor's office and they have the station on and Judge Judy's on. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how, like, that's the number one host, and it's to do with court cases.
Yeah,
people like
nuts.
These small kids.
It's nuts.
And what's crazy, too, is when you watch the show, if you ever catch a clip, it's like people suing each other for like $200. It's like, really? $200? This is worth coming to a court for $200?
Get on TV, I guess.
I guess. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy.
And usually there's always a countersuit. So it's like, you're suing me, I'm suing you.
Yep.
Yeah, every time.
Suit.
Yep.
For emotional distress.
That's right.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy world.
The world loves lawsuits.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of like acknowledgement from the Christian community that there is some biblical evidence against suing. You know, you can clearly tell that by how they're wording things, that they know that that's out there, but they're trying to, like, stretch it as much as possible.
I don't think, though, people in the church would really have a problem with it, though. If you knew somebody in the church was suing somebody else, you would probably never even question it as a bad immoral thing. It wouldn't be, like, the top of your list of, like, oh, that's something Christians don't do.
Yeah.
You would just look at it as, well, that's part of life, you know? Yeah. People wrong each other, and you gotta make amends.
You gotta stand up for yourself.
That's right.
You can't just be pushed over.
Yep.
So you gotta stand up for yourself.
So I don't know. I don't know. I've never heard it talked about in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in this, when you read these verses, it's pretty clear what it's saying.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's like, well, we're really stretching it here. No, this is clear.
It's pretty clear.
It's a home run.
It's literally talking about court cases.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. So we're going to go straight to the Bible.
Yeah.
So this is pretty quick.
We're going to go to the evil city of Corinth.
That's right. If you're looking for what to do with bad Christians,
that's right.
Turn to Corinthians.
Corinthians. There's two whole books on it.
That's right.
And they're long ones.
And it even goes into the early church fathers. Still writing letters to Corinth. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Yep.
They would write, I mean, if they wrote about America, I mean, it wouldn't be just, it would be volumes, okay? So we shouldn't even talk.
That's true.
Way worse than the Corinth church.
Yep. Yeah. Okay, we'll dive into this.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, Are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? So if you have such cases, why do you lay them before those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? To have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather suffer wrong? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud even your own brothers. So,
there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, there is.
So first of all, Paul, okay, making that comment about did you now know that we are to judge angels? No, I didn't know that, Paul. Okay.
Yeah. In fact, none of us know
that. Yeah, I don't know why we'd know that, Paul. Like, when you say it so clear like that, did people in the crowd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, we all judge angels. Yeah, yeah, I knew
in
that.
The future.
Like, that's future. Part of my faith is judging angels. Yep. No, I didn't know that, Paul. Very interesting thing to say in the middle of all that. Like, if that's like, you're like, of course everybody knows
did
this.
Did you not know this?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, Paul, sorry. I didn't mean to disrupt you, Paul, in the middle of that spiel. But
on top of that, yeah, the added, like, I mean, that's a huge, like, weight. He's just saying, of course they should know about their judgment.
Yeah.
That there's, like, such authority behind their judgment.
Yeah.
That he's like, don't you guys know you're going to be judging, you know, these beings created by God that are right. Super
the great messengers.
Powerful, and it's like, yeah, you guys are going to be judging those guys one day. So, of course you can settle these earthly disputes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, what? That in and of itself is a teaching that doesn't get taught.
No.
And that's like hard to grapple with just in and of itself.
Yeah.
You know, that there's some, how this great now authority behind these church, you know, leaders and what their judgment's going to be.
Right.
And he's like, you know, you don't have one person wise enough who can, you know, deal with these matters. But nonetheless, going back to our, you know, specifically our topic here, it's clearly being stated that the church is supposed to be the ones who judge what's going on between two Christians, right? Yep. How do the brothers go against each other, right? Why is this happening, and then why are they taking this to the courts outside, right? The secular world. Why are they taking their, you know, problems there, and that's shameful, right?
Mm.
Your church should feel shame that they're going to the world to settle their dispute. Okay, do churches feel that today?
Yeah. You know. Yeah, and the question is why? Why would you trust the counsel of the secular teaching and government over the counsel of the church?
Yeah.
Of possibly, like, pastors you trust and elders or, you know, thought leaders or people with a lot of wisdom in the Bible. Shouldn't you trust them over some court system that most likely probably won't even accept what you believe when it comes to your Christian faith at all?
Yep. Yeah, and this kind of feeds back into the kingdom belief, right?
Yeah.
Do we believe we're part of God's kingdom and God's sovereignty, or are we, you know, believing that we're also part of, you know, whatever nation state we happen to live in? But yeah, you know, this is the authority the church is supposed to have in the believers' lives.
Right.
Right. This is immense authority Paul is claiming that the church has upon its fellow believers' lives.
Mm-hmm.
I think authority that a lot of Christians would not feel comfortable with.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That, like, hey, you can't go to the court system anymore if you have a problem with somebody here, you know. And
it's weird that they would, a Christian would be more comfortable going to some lawyer they don't know into a court system to resolve the issue. And they probably, if the church came to them trying to resolve the issue, they probably say, see ya, church.
Yeah.
Like, get out of my life.
Yeah.
You have no business in my life. Yeah. This is my personal life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
like,
right.
Like, seriously, people it's would say that. Like, life. They got too involved in my personal life. Well, yeah, they're supposed to.
Well, apparently they have authority to judge that's angels. Right. So,
yeah.
Heavenly beings are apparently under their judgment. Yeah, so
your life is definitely under their judgment.
Yeah.
But it is. I think it just comes like we think a pastor is just a man who stands on stage and teaches us wisdom and teachings.
Yeah.
But they're much more than that. Yeah. They're supposed to be an authority over our lives and somebody that we can trust to help us get through these difficult times with our brethren and disagreements.
Yeah, they're just the authority. Yeah. You know, they're your local authority.
Yes.
In the same way that, you know, the secular world has their local, you know, county courthouse or whatever it is. You have local authorities within your realm as well, but as Christians, our local authorities are what's our local church community and those elders who you know, lead it.
Yep.
And you know they are to decide you know what's going on.
So, but what if you don't feel like you have a strong local authority? Like you don't feel your elder? Should you go find somebody? I mean, like, what should you do if? If you don't perceive that person as somebody who could resolve your issues.
And this is where we would go to the end of the passage.
Okay.
Where he is saying, you know, the very fact, though, that you're even having this lawsuit with one another is already a defeat for you.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The fact that you're even going down this, the fact that it's not resolved and and brother is willing to go up against brother to have this fight, right? This issue is already a defeat for you. And he asks them, why not suffer a wrong, right?
Yep.
Why not be defrauded?
Yeah.
Why not do that, right? That's his appeal, right? And this comes back to like the Christian morality. Paul does have here the allowance of, yeah, you can bring your dispute, you know, between the elders and the elders. Yep. Part of their job is shepherding and whatnot. True. But are you living the Christ-like example in this situation is what Paul's asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Are you taking it to that higher morality that Christ has taught, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it says suffering the wrong.
I mean, like, here's an example. I mean, like, just because you're cheated doesn't mean you should cheat others. That's just because someone pays you evil doesn't mean you repay it with evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go to 1 Peter, it talks about that. Do not pay evil with evil. Mm-hmm. And it says, do not retaliate with insults when people insult you. And what does it say? Here's the answer that Peter gives. And it says, instead, pay them back with a blessing. Mm-hmm. So we're going to flip the script here, okay? Not only are you not going to pay back the evil because you feel like you've been defrauded and hurt, you're going to go ahead and say, you know what? I'm going to bless this individual. I'm going to say something nice to them. I'm going to like reward them and pay back for what they're doing against me. And this is the same thing kind of like the eye for an eye principle. Mm-hmm. You know, it was once said an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the evil person. But whoever slaps you in your right cheek, turn the other one to him also. And then once again, if they take your shirt, you're supposed to, you know, give them your coat too. So give them even more than what they're even asking you. Mm-hmm. And if they ask you 1 mile, go two. I mean, this is a principle that's throughout Scripture, and it's crazy. It's not normal, but it's kind of like this is the reaction we're saying. So when it says, why not rather suffer wrong? I think another translation was kind of like, you know, like, so what? So what if you've been defrauded?
Yeah.
You know, my favorite term, me and my wife always say, suck it up, buttercup. You know, like, get over it. So what? And I know in some cases this might be hard to grasp, but like, I mean, I think of it sometimes, like, what if you lost your property or something to somebody? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be tough. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's kind of a so what? You've been defrauded. You've been hurt. Mm-hmm. Get over it. You know? Mm-hmm. It's just, it can happen to you. Sometimes we're going to lose in life.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. Yeah, it's not easy, you know, to hear and to do, but it's not a mystery according to the Scriptures either.
Yeah.
Right? The first point is, does the Bible clearly talk about this situation? And as we've read, it clearly does. I mean, there's not a lot of mystery as to what it is. And, you know, adding on to what they were saying before, when we were first talking about ideas floating out there of like, well, what about if it's a non-Christian, right? That's what they said was okay. Well, you're right. It's not talking about non-Christians in this specific instance, in 1 Corinthians 6. But does that go? Does that follow the thought of the New Testament, right? Is that flowing with the stream of thought here of what was just read in 1 Peter and Matthew and in so many other places, right? The amount of evidence is huge for the flow of thought of you should not repay evil for evil, that you should not try to seek revenge, right? Because let's be honest, what is the justice system in the secular world? It's revenge. Justice means revenge, right? If somebody's wronged you and you're out to get equal with them or to get back at them, right? That's what's going on here. It's not seeking biblical justice, which is a whole nother, you know, topic to go over. But the secular justice system is completely non in line with what biblical justice is. And so when you're using that court system for one, there's a lot of questions there, right? And what Paul's been going over, there's a lot of questions that you would even use their court system, right? Just, you know, with the authority of it alone. But then on top of that, why not be defrauded? Say you could go prosecute this non-Christian. Say that's what you say. How does that fall in line with the belief of why not suffer wrong, right? Why are you still taking them then, though? That in and of itself doesn't make sense or fall in line with the teachings, you know, of the New Testament.
Yeah.
And so even that in and of itself is not an excuse to, you know, take advantage of the non-Christian
status. And Scripture takes it one step further. It's like, oh, they harmed you? Well, go ahead and, I mean, turn the other cheek.
Make sure you bless them.
Yeah, make sure you bless them back for what they've done to you.
So how is taking them to court blessing them?
It wouldn't be.
Yeah.
And it talks about, like, this example before men, like, especially with Christians. I mean, two Christians taking each other to court, that's a terrible example before men. Yeah. These men that you're trying to witness to, I'm taking my brother to court because, I, you know, of what he's done to me. You know, that's why Christians have a bad name, is for stuff like that. Because that happens. It's not like it doesn't happen. We know it happens.
And in the chapter previous to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 5 there, it's Paul is talking about, well, you know, we aren't to be judging, you know, those who are outside, right? What do we have to be doing with that? But it's those who are inside the church whom you judge. And then it says God judges those outside the church. And so there's also this idea alongside that God is the one who repays. God is the one, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You know, and then there in 1 Corinthians 5:13, God judges those who are outside. So again, if you're allowed to judge those who are outside and take them to judgment, take them to the court, then how does that jive with 5:13? You know, how does that work? If God's supposed to be the one doing it, how are you also the one?
I mean, it's interesting that God's kind of put us responsible to judge the people within the church, or put leadership, like he's put the authorities above us to do that job. But he's saying, no, I got those people. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about those people outside the church. And it says even purse the evil people among you. So we're supposed to be kind of harsh towards people in the church.
If they're in sin, stuff.
And so, and that, I mean, that verse right there means a lot, where I know that was kind of a question I had for years, was kind of like, what do we do? You know, people would, there's a lot of people who want to condemn people outside the church for their sinful actions. And it kind of, that verse kind of threw me off, because it's like, well, does that mean we don't condemn those people? It's not our job to. It's God's job to do that. And really, we need to be more concerned about what goes on in the church, with the church, not outside the church.
Yeah, so I guess some is there any other questions?
Yeah, here's a question that was kind of asked. We had a friend we were talking to, and he asked this question. It's a good question. And it says, like, can't we follow man's law in the case of lawsuits when it seems necessary? Romans, 13 says, every person is to be subject to the government authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So God has appointed these authorities in our lives. Mm-hmm. So therefore, shouldn't we follow the laws of the land? And if that allows us to do lawsuits, why not?
Yeah, that was, I think at thechristian.net, they kind of briefly mentioned Romans 13.
Yep.
throw that out there. Yeah,
Romans 13 gets thrown out a lot. And,
everything's okay. Yep. Romans 13. Yep. Definitely as Christians, we're to be, subject to the governing authorities wherever Christians happen to live, And, this would apply in senses of taxation, for instance. If the government says they want to, 50% taxes of your income, Christians, we don't have a standing to rebel and oppose that.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have to submit to that. Now, the reason being, even though we might not like that, right? Mm-hmm. Again, none of these are necessarily easy to do,
mm-hmm.
right? Yep. We're not making the argument throughout this that this is easy to follow or that these are easy to do, but this is what it says.
Yep.
That's what we're trying to convey here. So, that's not easy to submit to, that 50% of, say, your income was to go to taxes. But does it go against any command of God? No, it doesn't, for them to tax you 50%. And
right.
So you have to submit to it.
Yep.
That's just the way it goes. Now, the thing is, if there is a law that goes against the commands of God, okay, this is where it would be in conflict, and you obviously wouldn't submit to it.
Yeah.
Because it would contradict other commands.
Yeah,
right?
In the book of Acts, Peter got thrown into prison, and mm-hmm. then he gets out. And the reason he got thrown in is because the stuff they were preaching
yep.
was ticking people off. Mm-hmm. And they told him, all right, Peter, you got to stop saying this stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to stop talking about Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And next he gets out, and he starts doing it again.
Yep.
He goes against mm-hmm. man's laws at that point because he's commanded to preach the word. He has to talk about the resurrected Christ. Mm-hmm. He had no choice.
Yep.
That's an example of... Yep, mm-hmm. some things override what the government tells us to do.
Yeah.
And so, we have to weigh these things, everything mm-hmm. you do.
Yeah. And he says, should we listen to man or listen to God? And he's like, he judges.
It tells us to be good citizens, though. So mm-hmm. we're supposed to, as much as we can, be subject to the government authorities and follow man's laws.
So in this situation, one, it's not like you are demanded to sue people for one thing, because you're not. You have the freedom in the United States to bring up these lawsuits. But just because you have the freedom doesn't mean that you should, right? You have to check it against mm-hmm. Scripture. Like all things, is this something a Christian should do?
Yeah.
And I think definitely not in the case of suing people and stuff like that. That doesn't make any biblical sense to me, how you would come up with that, and this is a big deal in how we're viewing, decisions and stuff. You can find opinions out there to help support anything you want.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
And I can go and, plead to silence, right? And be like, well, it didn't say this part. And therefore I can do that thing. Yeah. But again, does that make sense biblically, right?
Yeah.
You have to take all the weight of evidence of what's presented and say, hey, does that really go with the flow of thought here? Does that mm-hmm. really come in here and make sense? Or does that seem kind of out of place and like it's going against the stream of what's being presented here? And it definitely does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, taking people to court, for suing and stuff like that definitely seems to go against the flow of what's being taught in here. But so again, we're just kind of sticking to the case of, like, suing. There's all kinds of other, you know, little, I guess, subgroups you can go to, and, like, the law system and how this works as a Christian, and, you know, being in it, stuff like that.
So here's another question for you. Just if you're taken to court, should you respond to the hearing? Should you respond and be part?
So if you got to show up.
Yeah, if you have to show up. If you're being, if there's a lawsuit against you, or you've been asked to represent yourself in court, should we participate as Christians?
I would think you'd have to show up. I mean, I don't see anything. You're not, like, against anybody, like, trying to take them out or anything. So I don't see problem showing up in court. I mean, the disciples showed up in
there. You got to be honest. you gotta say the truth.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah. So, again, this is a pretty open and shut case. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
If
you take any topic and you wanted, and let's just say you have a strong opinion on it, you could go to Google and find tons of articles to agree with you.
Yeah.
Doesn't make it right.
Yeah.
Okay. It's this topic, every time you look at it, they'll say, it's clear what Scripture says, but... And then they'll have this big, long argument of obscure nothingness. And you're like, what did that have to do with it? You just justified it because you added the word but in front of it. You put a big but in front of it. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, well, but if there was something... it was just like every time. Mm-hmm. Like no one could just settle in and say, no, this shouldn't happen. Christians don't do this.
Yeah.
And when it comes to outside Christians suing other people, no, they should not be doing it. It doesn't. It's not consistent with Scripture. It's not consistent in the Christian way of living. It wouldn't be good for a good witness to your neighbors, to other Christians. Like, there's really not. I mean, maybe someone could like throw the craziest example at us, and we'd be like, okay, I guess in that sense.
Yeah.
But I can't think of anything that would totally just change my mind.
Yeah, we're definitely talking about the common ways in which this happens, right?
Yeah.
So-and-so did this. I'm bringing, civil suit against them. You know, that's the most common way that this plays out. This person wronged me. I'm going to get them back type of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just not supported by the Bible or anything like that.
I mean, if you actually went to court with a true Christian worldview... I don't even know if they would let you express a Christian worldview in court. Like, if you were, like, using, you can't really use Scripture as an argument.
Yeah, like, because this is getting into other, like, micro, legal situations. But, if you're a juror, you know, there's some issues there, you know, as to, you know, what, is it right to do it or not?
Yeah.
Because... You know, the secular courts think your belief is wrong, okay?
Yeah.
And if they find out you use the Bible to decide on a case, it can get thrown out.
Yeah.
The case
Which
can
is
get
weird
thrown
because
out.
You put your hand on a Bible and you say you're not going to lie, but then it's like you can't use the Bible.
I think we mentioned this in the In God We Trust.
Yeah, I think so.
Episode,
which is really bizarre, but it kind of goes in this.
Yeah,
this,
and
the same.
I will say, In God We Trust. You know, out there, you know, and the Ten Commandments in the front lawn.
Right.
But when you get inside, you can't have got any of your ideas from the Bible. Yeah. If that's found out, then
so just the tip of the day. Remember, if you get called in for to be on a court or on a juror panel. Just bring up that you're a devout Christian who's going to stand on
I
the Word of God.
I get all my answers from the Bible. You're gone.
You're out. Get
you're
out.
Gone.
Just get out. Don't ever come back. We just took you off the future list forever.
Yep.
You're done.
You will never serve as a juror.
While you're walking past the Ten Commandments, you know, on your way out, you can look back and remember that. Like,
yeah. I mean, part of the trouble is how much of a contradiction the legal system is and like philosophy and beliefs and stuff like that. I mean, this is what makes it difficult for us because of how messed up, you know,
so
their secular system
is. Why would you trust the legal system over the church.
Yeah.
For resolving any disputes. Because there's going to be disputes between Christians. It's going to happen. Yeah,
it's going to happen.
So you need to find...
And Paul's recognizing that, right? And this is a real situation when it's happening.
Yep.
You know?
And so he's giving you advice on how to deal with it. And he's saying, don't take it to the courts.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
And he's also reminding them of the higher moral calling to which Christ called us, which is, why not be defrauded, right? Yep. Even above all this, sad that this is even happening, but remember to what Christ called us. And he ends, you know, he goes on later talking about reminding them, remember that you guys were sanctified? Remember, right, you're supposed to be this holy group of people.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, how is any of this, right, in that?
Yeah.
Remember to what you guys were called. Remember this path that you're supposed to be on. But... Yeah, it's one of those things that's, you know, easily seen in Scripture as to what to do, but much harder to actually, you know, take it and actually practice it.
And maybe this is something you've never actually thought about. Like, you've never actually, if you got into that situation where something bad happened to you, you would just naturally do what the world would do, because nobody... The church doesn't talk about it much, so it's good. That's why this is why we do these podcasts.
Yeah, when was the last sermon on court cases?
That's right.
Yeah. So, want a refresher, you know.
Make we got sure a really cool series coming up called Court Cases.
Yeah.
Hey, what you do when you get called and when someone wrongs you, what you do. I mean, no one would show up those weeks. Yep. They'd be like, really?
Yeah, that's how you kill a
why
church.
Why are Christians
right there
talking about taking people to court? Yeah. Like, that doesn't, it's not very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, and there again, there's so many of these things that are talked about in the Bible.
Yep.
But we don't, for some reason, we read this stuff, but we don't, like, see the practicality of it in our lives. Like, we don't see how, whoa, this said pretty much what we accepted was complete nonsense. You know, like, the Bible doesn't recognize how we're practicing it.
Right.
But we just kind of read through it, and we're just like, oh, whatever.
Yep.
You know, the statement, you're going to judge angels one day. It's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You know, nobody
nobody
sits there and thinks about, like, what?
What do you mean by that? Why would he say that?
Yeah. And, you know, do we accept that? Do we accept that teaching from Paul, right?
Yeah.
I mean, do Christians accept that? If you were to ask them in church, like, this is the view that your church, because think about that. It makes the rest of it makes a lot of sense as to why you would follow what Paul's saying if there is this supreme high authority backing the church, right?
Mm.
So, if you knew there was a court that was backed by, you know, the kingdom of God and God's sovereignty behind it, and whatever their judgment is, that's eternally backed. You would be you would respect that court.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, oh yeah, the Supreme Court's nothing compared to that one.
Yeah.
Because those are just earth courts, right? Yeah. Their judgment's limited and, you know, there's not as much weight. Those eternal courts, those are the big ones.
Yeah.
And you gotta really, you know, those are the ones that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That would make sense in line with everything else that Paul's saying. So yeah, you would never, you know, you wouldn't care about the earth courts. It wouldn't be as big of a deal. But do we have that mentality, right? Do we know that teaching? You know, I don't think, you know, I don't think we really do.
Yeah. It just comes down to how we're going to respond when someone wrongs us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to consider what is the right way to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess where are you at in that? Like, how do you respond when someone wrongs you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you throw back a blessing or do you throw back a curse?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it might be something more trivial in your life that you have to deal with before you could even grasp this idea of, like, not taking someone to court.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Thanks for listening again. There's hundreds and thousands and millions and billions. I don't know if there's billions. There's a lot of podcasts out. There's a lot. But you listen to ours, and we appreciate that.
If you have any questions, concerns, or ideas regarding our podcast, please email us at biblicaogic@gmail.com.
No, you just said it wrong.
Oh.
You missed the L. There's an L between... It's either...
You know what? Just don't email us, okay? There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way.
You can find us in Woodland, okay? It's a small town. There's like, and there's a lot of families here who know who we are. So you just knock at a door and say, I'm looking for Nathan or Mike. And they'll know exactly who you're looking for.
That's right.
Yes.
So
biblical, biblical logic, biblical logic, one of those two.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you like our podcast, yeah, I don't know why you'd like this podcast, but if you do, please share it with a friend. This is a lot of work for us to do this. We both work full-time jobs, okay? We're busy people.
What time is it right now? It's 10:34 p.m.
We had to go to a city council meeting before this, so that we were going to sit there for 30 minutes, and we ended up staying for an hour and a half.
Yep.
And we're helping them figure out how to do the festival. I don't even know what you call it. The Woodland...
Homecoming.
Festival. And, boy, they need a lot of help, so we're there for them. That's why we're there. But anyway, so it's 10:30 at night. We're ready for bed. We got work tomorrow. Anyway, so thank you. Share this. And anywhere you are, share it with somebody else.
So keep fighting the good fight of faith. And thanks for listening to the Third Option Podcast.
Boom.